Certainly want to thank all those who are leading us in our music. You have certainly you have led us from beginning to end into a place that has brought us to a very wonderful space right now. So thank you all for doing that. Thank you all for the journey that you have just invited us into. I want to invite you into a gospel, into a text in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16, if you... remember last week, this is a continuation of the scripture that I lifted up last week. Completely different transitions. You may remember that in Matthew chapter 16, we're going to start at verse 24. Last week, we started at verse 21. Jesus is having a conversation with Peter here at verse 24. Is a conversation that expands to all of the disciples, not just to Peter. And so that's what we are doing this morning. I'm going to be reading from a translation. It's called the New Revised Standard Version. This is the updated edition of that version. You'll see that projected, but you can follow along in your favorite translation. But Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 24, then Jesus told his disciples, "If any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world, but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Oh Lord, you have invited us. Each and every one, you have given us the invitation to taste and see that the Lord is good. And certainly, Lord, you have offered good words for us, nourishing words for us. We know that these are words that are filled with the power of your Holy Spirit, that they are truly inspired, and we pray and ask, Lord, that as our hearts come together, that in the meditation of our hearts, Lord, we pray that we may find that inspiration and the power of your Holy Spirit. And I thank you, O God, for the words that you have spoken into my life. I pray and ask that as I preach on this day, that the words that I share, that they will be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, and the one who saves us. Amen. I will say this about Matthew chapter 16 that I've been living with together for a little while. Perhaps the most comforting part of this particular scripture, the scripture that we've just read together, is that as we come toward the end of March Madness, perhaps the most comforting part about that are these words that say, for those who lose for the sake of God, that they will find their lives. There is hope. There is hope even for losing teams. And that's comforting to know that even when teams lose, that there is hope. Especially in a world where there is high praise for those who advance for the Sweet 16, for those who make their way to the Elite Eight, for those who make their way to the Final Four. You know, that seems to be a premium and a value. Yes, and I am well aware, I'm extraordinarily well aware of knowing that there is also a game at 4:05 p.m. today. I know not everyone has lost in the tournament, but maybe there is some solace and comfort for those of us whose teams have not advanced and have been eliminated, that dreaded word that happens in March. As Jesus says, if any of you wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. So we go on saying, there's always next year. We go on saying, trust the process. But beyond basketball, and some of you are grateful to hear those words right now, that beyond basketball, what I love about today's reading, what I love about this is this clarion call that Jesus makes. This absolutely clear call that Jesus makes. It is so clear that every single one of us can adhere to it, that if any of you wish to come after me, I mean, how clear and how straightforward is that in the midst of biblical text where we talk about what's a parable, where we talk about what's a metaphor, when we talk about what's literal, that this is Jesus literally saying to all of us, if any of you wish to come after me. And it's a call that is particularly confronting in the season of Lent, especially in a year like this, where together we seek to deny ourselves and draw closer to God. Because of outside of Lent, beyond Lent, that when we find ourselves just in the day-in, day-out lives that we all share together, that beyond Lent and outside of Lent, it seems so easy. It seems so easy. Of course we respond with an affirmative, that yes, we wish to follow Jesus. Of course we respond and say, yes, Jesus, I will follow you. Well, as Peter will say, I will follow you anywhere, Jesus. That's why we not only read our scriptures, but we take time to study our Bibles. And even at times, we come together and we study our Bibles with other people. That's why we don't just pray, but we intercede on behalf of others. We pray not just for ourselves, but we carry with us list of names. We carry with us list of concerns, and we call them out, asking God to intercede on behalf of those that we lift up. That's why we don't just worship, but we enter into worship. In the words of the psalmist, in the words of the Hebrew scriptures, we enter into worship with joy and thanksgiving, seeking to be drawn into God's presence. It's easy itself for Lent, because in Lent is that moment that we really give of ourselves and find out things about ourselves that we didn't already know. Find out things about ourselves that sometimes don't make us too happy. I know that's true for me, that I can spend time studying my Bible and not be drawn into that living word, but studying my Bible to find what I was already looking for before I even came to the Bible. That's why I can spend time in prayer, doing it, praying, but moving too quickly and not sitting still and finding God, as Psalm 46:10 reminds us to do. And even in outside of Lent, and just day in, day out life, even in worship, finding that I can get distracted by what's coming next, what's going to happen next, what's happening after this psalm, what's happening after this prayer. But it's in Lent that I find that I'm myself most convicted again with Jesus' words, that if any of you wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Of course, I always wish. Of course, we together always wish. That's why we do come together. When it's cloudy and when it's rainy, and when there's been a little bit of rain that's made those yellow puddles all over the place, but yet it hasn't washed away all that pollen yet. But of course, we wish to follow Jesus. Yet in Lent, we're confronted and convicted that over 40 days of saying beyond all distractions to say, am I really embracing what Jesus is offering in this moment? Do I really wish to come after Jesus above all else? And if we do wish that above everything else in our lives, if we do wish to come and to follow Jesus above everything else, Jesus says for those who want to save their life, they're the ones who are going to lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake, they will find it. And so as we take up our cross and we begin to look out and we begin to see just Easter just right on the horizon, we begin to see the celebration that surrounds Easter beyond the palm branches, beyond Holy Week, but we really see that new life that comes up at Easter, that new life that seems to be springing all around us. And we begin to see Easter coming up, rising on the horizon. Are we really ready in this moment to lose our lives for the sake of Jesus? Or will we once again settle for just going through the motions? I mean, how often do we do it? That with clenched fist, How often are we doing everything to save our own lives, to save ourselves on our own terms? You know, Jesus' paradox that we walk into in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus' paradox confronts us with a stark reality. You deny, and then you follow. You lose, and then you gain. Where does the profit? What about the nest egg that we worked so hard to build on? What about the 401k? What about the stocks with April 15th right around the corner? And once again, we pay attention to all of those things. What about all that profit? And in fact, where do we go when we find out that in building that nest egg, that we have somehow lost a part of our lives in the process? This is what Jesus, again, in this paradox begins to ask us. How often do we build and plan for the end only to discover that we have lost ourselves in the midst of building? And the reality that Jesus invites us into, the reality that Jesus invites us to come and to follow is with those simple words, "If you wish." And it's in this mystery of our lives that are caught up in God's presence that does come in paradox and it does come in mystery. For we're empowered by what we are willing to deny in ourselves. That's what we discover in fasting, is that there is actually power that comes when we do deny ourselves. We gain by what we're willing to let go of, when we're willing to open our hands and just drop it. We discover our lives not by what we have profited from, but what we have not lost in the process of profiting. See, Jesus is not calling us to withdraw and abandon everything in this world. That's way too easy. Because we're called to be disciples. We're not called to be separatists with our heads buried in the sand. We're not called to withdraw and abandon everything in this world. As disciples, Jesus will then say that we are equipped to be salt and light in this world. How many of you remember when Jesus talks about bread and when Jesus talks about dough? How many of you remember that phrase that Jesus lifts up that says, "a little leaven"? Do you remember that one? Do you remember that one that Jesus talks about, that not only are we salt, not only are we light, but a little leaven, just a little leaven is enough for the whole loaf. Just a little leaven from disciples like us, it's enough for the whole world. Salt, light, and a little bit of leaven go much further than we imagine, especially when we wish to follow Jesus without losing our own lives in the process. And so in our own kind of March Madness, as we enter into once again this season of Lent, and again with Easter on the horizon, but in this madness that March can bring to all of us, when we do more than try to salvage our brackets and watch the next game, when we do those things, continuing to give tithes, continuing to give offerings, continuing to contribute to our retirement, when we find ourselves called up praying desperately to God to just show us the way, the next step forward, and just over and over, this is the challenge of Lent, is to take a moment to pause and even do it in silence and to deny ourselves, open our hands, let go of what we have spent so much time trying to hold together and so much time trying to hold on to let go for what we've held on to for so long. And imagine what happens when today we lose our lives for only the wish to follow Jesus just a little more closely. That's when we win. We win when we are able to confront our own busted brackets of lives and say, in this season of Lent, I will follow you, Jesus. I do wish to follow you, Jesus. Even confronted with everything that has come out of my life, even confronted with Well, the very horror that I've seen in my own self, the very sin that has separated me from you, God, that I am now, I do wish to follow you once more. And then praying and seeking to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Letting our own agendas fall to the wayside, even in prayer, and seeking that kind of transformation that has been promised to us. That new creation where we are transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Even coming into moments like this when we will worship with expectation that something is mysterious, that something is life-changing in this moment. That's how we gain by losing. That's how we maximize our profits without losing our very lives in the process. But it's only if we wish to come after Jesus. Again, simple words, and yet so difficult for us to implement. And yet, once again, Christ comes to us, asking us, if any of you wish, come follow me. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we pray that in the midst of our own lives, we pray that in the midst of our own souls, we pray, O God, that in the midst of silence, that you will equip us, O God, to come to you, to follow you. And for those moments, O God, of those moments when we have failed, Lord, to live obediently to your will, I pray that you will forgive us, free us, O God, to let our wishes become true in our lives and in our world. Let us truly follow you. Equip us, O God, in the midst of our imperfect lives. Equip us, O Lord, to live lives that are perfected in your presence. Equip us to be salt and light in our world. Equip us, O God, to be leaven, not only for our small loaves, but for the bread of life that truly is Jesus Christ. Lord, as we continue on this season of Lent, moving closer and closer to Easter, Lord, let us wish, and let us not only wish, but let us take that step of following you. For it's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen. And I would like to invite our ushers, if they will gather this morning.